in my office, the elders and I had discussed the idea of whether to keep the children in during the Lord's Supper or not. And I'm so glad we did. Builds character, right, John? Builds character. No, we want to expose our children to what life together looks like in the body of Christ. And so, praise God. He's so good to us, isn't he?
He's
so good to us. Well, let me just give you a few things that I would like to mention to you. I was out last week, and I appreciate Danny preaching last week on the Great Commission. I encourage you to go back and listen to that. And let me just bring you up to speed on a few things. Obviously, we have new restrooms now for the ladies, and so we hope those are working out well. We do have a few items to fix on those yet, and so just be patient with us, which is the topic today, timely message on the idea of patience. But we have an old building with a lack of water pressure, and so it does cause some issues when you go to use certain items in a restroom, especially if you try to use them all at the same time. And so we believe in unity and oneness here at Macedonia, but we ask you not to express that in the restrooms. You can be independent in there. So try to be independent in there until we have a solution for that. It's just going to take a while for us to get that that remedy in place. I will ask you to pray this week for us as the elders make their way out to the East Coast. We have our annual elders retreat where Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, we come back Saturday, where we get together and focus on what we're going to do next year, vision for next year, and just a time of growing together as a body of elders. And so I'm really excited this year. Actually, we're going to have more of a focus on prayer this time. So I'm very excited about that, what the Lord is going to do in the midst of our elders. And we're going to be looking at where I believe the Lord's leading us next year in our theme as we finish this year out with the idea of life together and look to next year and the ministry that we have. So I mentioned that to you so you know what's going on, that the elders actually do get together on a monthly basis, but also we do a retreat once a year. And to ask you also to pray for us. We would appreciate you praying for us that God would give us wisdom and help us to grow in unity. And I firmly believe that God has done that in the elder body here at Macedonia. I feel every year that we have grown closer together, more unified, and more under, I believe, the title, partners in the ministry. And so we're so blessed here. I'm so blessed to be a part of it. And we're so blessed to have the elders that we have here at Macedonia Baptist Church. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Galatians. We are working our way through the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. And just to remind us, I haven't done this all the time, but I know that within my sermon titles, we've just been given topics here as far as the fruit of the Spirit. But I know as I've been looking at the number of sermons that have mounted up, we're approaching the end of the alphabet. Each of these have had a letter as a part of my file. And so we're getting close to XYZ. And so that means we're close to 26 messages here on this topic. So we spent a lot of time looking at the idea of the fruit of the Spirit. I think it's good for us on occasion to remind us a little bit about the idea of the overall picture here in Galatians of what the fruit of the Spirit is. We've looked at the works of the flesh, and now we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And I just want to give like one or two little thoughts here before we look at the idea of peace. So when we think about the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, remember that's in contrast to the plurality of the works of the flesh. The flesh produces many works, and they have no effect. They're not effectual in the way of salvation or pleasing God. We please God by faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so the idea of our entrance into a relationship with God is by faith alone, and the idea of our continual relationship with God is by faith alone. And praise God that one of the gifts that he has given to us is faith. We're saved by grace through faith. That's not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. So we praise God for that reconciliation that has taken place where he has made us right with him. And so as we think about the idea of the fruit of the Spirit, singularly stated here, it's a collection of fruit, if you will, here. And the fruit of the Spirit points to, in a sense, our salvation. It's an outward indicator of the presence of an inward salvation. These are evidences of the fact that God has done something in our lives. And so we say, once again, these are distinct from the works of the flesh because they're separate from the flesh. Separate from the flesh in that the flesh doesn't produce these. The flesh doesn't sustain these or empower these. These are a gift of God through His Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God, not of the works of man or anything that we have in our nature. And so as we think about this idea of the fruit of the Spirit, once again, it's an outward indication of the salvation that God has worked in us. And Jesus Himself even said, and I think this will maybe help you a little bit, as the more you read Scripture, the more well-defined it becomes. You can have, I don't know how, you can have more degrees than a thermometer. Okay? But you'll still grow in the Word of God every time you read it. And so even this morning, as I was thinking back to last night, this morning, 2 in the morning, as I was thinking back through the idea of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, you will know them by their fruit. Maybe you have just used that generically in your thought process of how we identify people as Christians. Well, how do we identify people that are Christians by fruit? What is the fruit? Fruit of the Spirit. Has to be at least that, doesn't it? This love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, all these things that we're exploring here within the idea of Galatians chapter 5, that God has, through His Spirit, given us these gifts, if you will. These fruit, if you will, this fruit that comes from God. And so when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about something for other people, signals that we are children of God, but also for yourself. And maybe we can apply this. Maybe you weren't loving before Christ. And I would say, you weren't loving before Christ. You might have been fleshly loving or fleshly kind. I mean, even lost people have ethics and morals, right? Unfortunately, sometimes even lost people display more ethics and morals than Christian people or those that claim to be Christians. And so, we can look at this idea of the fruit of the Spirit as an encouragement for us because I once was lost, but now I'm saved. I once didn't love, but now I do love. I once didn't have peace, but now I have peace. I once wasn't patient, but now I'm a little bit more patient. Patience. That's what we're looking at today. Patience. It's a difficult topic. Difficult for a few reasons. One, I was recently at the doctor and had a test done, and I tested negative for patience. That's a joke. There's no test for that. Well, there is a test for it, but not at the doctor's office. But it's difficult in the sense of, I know that I'm speaking to people that have complete control on the idea of patience. You have perfected this idea of patience. And so I, in many ways, feel like, who am I to speak to you about patience? And I did think, by the way, I was looking for somebody else that would be better at preaching about patience. And I didn't really, not that I'm good at it, but I didn't really find anybody else. Maybe it's because I was limited to men. Maybe if I had included women in that, I can think of some women in our church that are very patient. Especially when I think about the husbands that they put up with. My wife is very patient. Yes, you can say that. She is very patient. So when we think of this idea of patience here in Galatians in particular, again, there are many words that are used in the Bible to express the idea or communicate the idea of patience, and especially God's patience. From Galatians chapter 5, what is this word patience, and how is it being used here in the New Testament to speak to us to the idea of what God has done for us through His Spirit? Well, patience defined. A state of remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. Remaining tranquil while awaiting an outcome. Patience, steadfastness, endurance. I'm never going to graduate. true. You're going to graduate one of these days. Be patient. Do what you need to do. Be patient. I'm never going to get married. Be patient. Most likely, you're going to get married one day. Be patient. And so as we think about the idea of patience, it's waiting for that thing to arrive, right? Again, I remember in boot camp so well. 3 months is a long time when you're under the authority of drill instructors. And for many of us, all of us in boot camp, we were impatient. We wanted to get through. We wanted to get done. And it took patience, steadfastness, endurance, and a lot of work to make it to the end. So when we think about patience, we're thinking about, there's two aspects that we want to look at here. Patience is this idea of waiting for the outcome of something, waiting for something to come. Secondly, and this is a little bit more difficult of an aspect of the idea of patience, we're probably used to that aspect of patience, waiting for something to arrive, waiting for, you order something. Is this thing ever going to come? I mean, what did we ever do before you could look on your phone and see exactly where that package is at? Right? We're used to that kind of idea of patience, but maybe not so much with this idea of patience, a state of being able to bear under provocation. Patience. You're being attacked. You want to lash out. And you are encouraged to be patient. You're offended by somebody. The enemy looks as though they're winning. And you're encouraged to be patient. And we're going to see that's related very much to the idea of who God is. That God is a patient God. And so it goes with the idea of forbearance. Not acting out when you could, and rightly so. You could act out in justice, in wrath. You could act out, but you forego that. You're patient. You forbear that. So when I think about the idea of patience, I'm sure that, like me, you struggle with patience. Maybe not in every category of your life, but I'm sure there are times at which you struggle with patience. There are areas at which you struggle with patience. Children, push our patience. Church members can push our patience. Pastors can push our patience. Please don't think that I think that I'm, for some reason, one that doesn't cause people to be impatient or any of the other elders. We know. When are we ever going to take care of some of these issues in our church? Be patient. Now, as I thought about patience, I thought of a few things. You know, patience is so hard to acquire that we say, I wish I could just find a little patience. It's so demanding on us. It's such a high requirement and so hard to achieve that sometimes we say, I wish they would have some patience. Some. Just a little patience. It reminds me of Jesus saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, right? I wish we could have patience, at least the size of a mustard seed. But I thought about our world and how it drives us to be impatient. So many things that push us against patience. I thought, for example, of one of the most useless signs on the back of a vehicle. Be patient, student driver. Now, maybe for you, when you see that sign, you say, oh, yeah, patience. But I don't suspect that's probably how you feel. You're probably more like me. Oh, man, they're the ones that have been holding this whole thing up. Get over to the side, right? Get them. All student drivers should drive on the right side, never on the left side. Yeah, so be patient, student driver. I read that one individual said, patience is something that we require of others but seldom require of ourselves. We demand it of other people, But we seldom require it or cause ourselves to feel the pressure to be patient. It's a difficulty. Well, the Bible has much to say about patience. Let me give you some words of wisdom. Words of wisdom to include scripture, but general words of wisdom about patience. And we can take some from the secular world and some from the theological world at the same time. But think of Augustine, 4th and 5th century theologian, great theologian, father of modern theology. He said, patience is the companion of wisdom. Did you hear that? Patience is the companion of wisdom. Maybe thinking of Proverbs 14:29. Whoever is slow to anger, that's patience, by the way. In the Hebrew, that's the idea of patience. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding. But he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Let me say that this way. Whoever is patient has great understanding. Don't you admire people that are patient? Don't you admire people when they can wait patiently on the Lord? They can wait patiently on other people. They can, in the midst of turmoil and trouble and trials and difficulties and chastisement, they can exude patience. It's like something to admire, isn't it? Something to gaze at when that occurs. Whoever is patient has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper, he who is impatient, exalts folly. Augustine, patience is the companion of wisdom, or a Greek proverb. 1 minute of patience, 10 years of peace. 1 minute of patience results in, leads to, 10 years of peace. 1 minute of impatience, one word of impatience can cost you, right? I remember years ago I was waiting on someone. No, it's not in the last 20 years, so it was before my wife. But I was waiting on a friend and I said, oh, always waiting. And as I looked over, the individual said, what was that? I was like, oh man, I just messed up. That one moment of impatience just cost me a week of explanation. Yeah. 1 minute of patience, though, 10 years of peace. Be careful. Be patient. It pays dividends. It has great rewards for it. Bite your tongue. Keep it in. Let it go. Forbear. Have endurance. And get the rewards of that. Or Aristotle, that great thinker, that great Greek philosopher, said, patience is bitter, but its fruit is sweet. Patience is bitter. Man, it's hard. Hard to swallow sometimes, isn't it? Hard to keep it down, choke it down, but its fruit is sweet. It pays dividends. Or that other great theologian, Mark Twain. All good things arrive unto them that wait and don't die in the meantime. Patiently wait. Hopefully you'll get it before you die. But if not, when you die, let yourself be known as patiently waiting for it. Yeah. All good things arrive unto them that wait and don't die in the meantime. Well, let's listen to the Word of God. Just a few verses here. Ecclesiastes. Preacher. Some would say Solomon. Better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not quick in your spirit to become angry, for anger lodges in the heart of fools. Did you get that? That's the Word of God. speaking wisdom to us, that patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. That we are to exemplify, we are to practice patience. We're not to be quick in our spirit to become angry, for anger is a representation of foolishness in our hearts. Be patient. This is helping us to see that patience, though it's bitter and it's difficult and it's rare, it's a commodity that we want. We do want this, actually, no matter the cost, we want patience. And if you're like me, again, we might say, well, don't pray for patience, because that will bring suffering. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 that suffering produces steadfastness, steadfastness produces character, and character produces hope. And that word steadfastness is the word patience. Suffering produces patience. Why does God allow us to suffer at times? Why does He allow that to be a part of our life? Well, let's go ahead and go to a bigger question. Why did God incorporate suffering into the life of Christ when He committed no sin? For us, God uses suffering to build patience. Patience. And so if you're going through a time of suffering, or in preparation for times of suffering that will come, remind yourself when you come up to the time of suffering, difficulties and trials, that God is using that in your life to take you to the next level of steadfastness, endurance, forbearance, patience. Why? Because patience is a good thing, and we have a patient God, and He wants to demonstrate through us His patience. Yeah. Patience. Listen to Proverbs chapter 20. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait. That's patience. Waiting is patience, isn't it? But we don't like to wait. We want it today. We love the Amazon feature. You can have it at 7 in the morning if you order it right now. Yeah, we want that. That's how we operate. We don't want to wait for anything. We live in a generation of people that expect things right now. We have very poor television service at our place. Very poor. Probably related to the fact that we only pay $20-something dollars a month for it. So you do get what you pay for, right? And so we were watching something the other night, and every once in a while it would flicker, and we were like, man, what is this stuff? No flickering. I don't want any flickering. I want now, right? Don't even want a blurb. I hit the button on my computer, and I want it to go to that page when? Now. I don't want to wait for a little hourglass to be spinning there. I want it now. And so we live in that kind of society, and we many times apply that to God. Yes, we do. We've built habits. The world has conditioned us in some ways to be very impatient with everything. And what has happened is we don't say, well, I'm impatient with everything other than God. No, what happens? Well, I'm not a psychologist, but I do know people, and I know myself. What has happened is we're so conditioned not to have to wait for anything and to be so impatient about everything that when it comes to God, we're impatient with Him. God doesn't want us to be impatient toward Him. He wants us to wait for Him because it reminds us He's in control. He's in charge. We need it from God. We can't get it anywhere else. The daily bread that you need, it only will come from God. And so you have to look to Him. Listen to it once again. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and He will deliver you. Or Proverbs chapter 25, verse 15. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. I thought about that with the idea of our current president. How much force would it take to make him do something? How far do you think you would get with our president, or probably any of our world leaders in this day and time? How far do you think you would get if you came and tried to twist their arm to do something? Retaliation, right? Retaliation. Resistance, at least resistance. Really, the only opportunity you have is patience. Would you please, Mr. President, maybe do this? But pride prevents us from doing that, doesn't it? And we carry that over to God as well. I don't need to bother God with that. I'll take care of this myself. God's not answered. He hasn't answered me. Doesn't that sound like Saul in the book of Samuel? He waited and waited, but he didn't wait as long as God told him to wait through Samuel. And he took matters into his own hands, and right then, after it's done, Samuel shows up, and what have you done? What have you done? I was under pressure, Saul says. Not a good excuse. It doesn't work. The kingdom has been taken from you. What was the kingdom of God taken from Saul? Yes, he was disobedient. He was disobedient in that he was impatient. And that impatience demonstrated the idea of a lack of obedience and faith in God, of doing God's work God's way, and keeping ourselves in the right place. Saul wanted to be something that he wasn't called to be. He wasn't to be a priest. And we do that many times as well. We try to act in positions that we're not assigned to. You're not God. God is the one who provides for you. He's responsible for providing for you. Yes, he's called us to work, and many times God uses our work as a part of providing for us. But who gives you the strength to work? Who gave you the job? Who gave you favor with your employer? God did. God did. We know that God works through prayer. God's not limited to that, but he involves us in prayer. So God involves us in things, and one of the things that God involves us in doing his will, is waiting on him. Patient toward him. Let me encourage you to be patient with God. Patient with God. Whatever he is withholding from you, maybe you don't need it in the first place, and he's waiting to show you that. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not an expert in this, but I've been down the wrong trails many a time. And I know patience pays off. Be patient with the Lord. He always has the better part for us. Trust him and lean upon him. Being patient is a good time for us to get right with God, by the way, too. Sometimes God is waiting for us to confess our sins and turn toward him and say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. Waiting on you. Let me give you a few things that stood out to me when I thought about the idea of patience. And maybe this will help us understand more of what a great God we have. What a great God. Again, I probably should have put this first. He's such a patient God. Probably should have started there. He doesn't have to be. I mean, it's his nature. In one sense, he does have to be patient in a sense, because that's who he is. He can't go against his own character and nature. But he's been patient toward us. He's the holy one. We were the unholy. And he's been patient toward us. Let me begin with this first point. We are urged to practice patience. We are urged. I could have used the word, and I had the word commanded in there. And they are, in a sense, commands in the New Testament and the Old Testament. This idea of waiting and being patient and long-suffering. There are many passages that are command form. But many times it's the idea, I urge you. I urge you. Listen to the psalmist. The Psalms have many, many passages about patience. I encourage you. The Psalms have been lately a refuge for me lately. Just doing 10, 15 Psalms in a day and just thoroughly enjoying them. listening to the psalmist and reflecting on Christ. But Psalm 27 has always been one that has stood out to me with the idea of patience. The psalmist ends there toward the end of Psalm 27. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Isn't that encouraging? That we can be strong. Patience is a sign of strength. Be patient. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Waiting for the Lord is not a time when you become depressed. It's not a sign of weakness. Many people will try to accuse you of weakness when you're waiting on the Lord. They'll try to accuse you of being indecisive, afraid, lackluster, whatever the case may be. They'll accuse you of that. They won't understand, but I would encourage you, take heart. If you're waiting on the Lord, you're okay. Don't worry about what other people have to say. Be strong and stay the course. Be strong in your steadfastness and endurance and wait on the Lord. Not other people telling you to go, but wait on the Lord. I know. I've told this before, but I remember years ago, back in 1998, when I felt the Lord was calling me to ministry, I had a good friend who was a pastor of a large church in Virginia, and he gave me such a difficult time. He said, what's it going to take for you? When are you going to recognize that God wants you to go into the ministry? And I said, when God shows me, not you and 10 other people telling me, but when God clarifies it to me. I'm waiting on God to tell me. And I was, specifically was asking God, God, I see people that are telling me this, I feel this, but I haven't heard from you. And there were people that were accusing me of being afraid. I was afraid a little bit. I was a captain in the Marine Corps at the time, lived under the umbrella of the government, provided everything for me. All I had known, really. And so there was a little bit of fear. But I wanted to know when I stepped out that I wouldn't have any second thoughts because I knew it was God, not other people. So that when I ran into problems, and I ran into problems, and probably will run into problems as we follow the Lord, that it wouldn't be a matter of me calling my friend and saying, hey man, you told me to go into ministry. Why'd you do that? Instead, I would say, Lord, you called me to this. I guess you've got a plan. I'm going to trust you. Yeah. There's great assurance with the idea of waiting on the Lord, making decisions based upon waiting on the Lord. Or Psalm 37, be still. That's patience, by the way. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourselves over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. And you can have a much wider application of that. Whatever opposition, whatever situation, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him, for God. James uses the word patient. It's a different word in the New Testament from the Galatians passage, but hupomone, I remember that word because I thought it takes endurance. It means endurance, steadfast. It takes endurance to play hoops. Hupomone. James, be patient, therefore, brothers, sisters, until the coming of the Lord. How long are we to be patient? Until the Lord comes. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it. Grew up on a farm. Loved it when we plowed the fields. Loved it when we planted. Had to have patience because I loved harvest time. But we had to wait all summer long. Yeah. You see that corn just getting taller and taller. I was back home in Indiana just recently. Corn was 9 feet tall. It reminded me of Indiana when I went back there and just remembering my younger days. 9 feet tall. I couldn't even reach the top of it. Patience, though. The farmer has to be patient. You don't just put the seed in the ground and then reap the harvest. You have to wait. And so let me encourage you, keep planting the seed. Keep planting the seed. Many applications for that. Keep planting the seed of the gospel and patiently wait for God. Some will come along and water it. Some will cultivate around it. But God will give the increase in his time. So wait on the Lord. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the field, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets. Just go back and look at the prophets. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Isaiah, dealing with people whose words were right, but their hearts were wrong with God. He was a man of unclean lips in the midst of a people of unclean lips and patient. You know, I know there were times they pulled hair out. Probably still patient, though. Patiently pulled hair out. Brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remained patient, steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness, the patience of Job. And you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. Wait on the Lord. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, rejoice in the Lord, be patient in tribulation. Not retaliate, not get them back. Be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Or 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. Be patient with whom? With the brothers, with the idle. Be patient with the ones that when you look at their lives, you say, man, when are you going to get your life together? When are you going to make your life count for something? Be patient with the ones where you say, man, I wish they would live for the Lord. I wish they would get involved in the ministry of the gospel of Christ. I wish they would pour their life out as a drink offering for the Lord in service to him. Be patient with the idle. We once too were idle, right? And I know there are some that can look at me and, comparatively speaking, I look idle compared to them. The work they do. Encourage the faint-hearted, the weak. Be patient with the weak. God gives us the weak to help us see their needs and to be part of the body of Christ. The weaker vessels. God uses the weaker vessels. We don't just accept the weaker vessels. We have to have patience with the weaker vessels. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. It's a good word for us. It's a word of wisdom. Or Paul writing in his last letter to Timothy. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. We love this. We probably, if you haven't got it memorized, you are pretty familiar with this passage, right? Any ordination you probably have ever been to, they've read this passage. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. How? With complete patience. There's nothing like somebody who rebukes you without patience. There's nothing like someone who exhorts you, but without patience. Or teaches you, but without patience. We struggle with that. I struggle with that. I know you struggle with that. We all struggle with it at our own level in our own areas, don't we? I'm sure that if you were to be responsible for teaching a five-year-old, unless you're really gifted with that, it would require a lot of patience, wouldn't it? It would require patience. And we, once we become knowledgeable in things, sometimes we become impatient toward other people. And again, we forget that we once too didn't know what we know now. not even to say that maybe what we know now isn't completely accurate anyway. We give ourselves way too much credit at times. And so we, as pastors and as people of the church, are to be patient with one another, or Ephesians chapter 4. Again, we're urged to practice patience. I therefore, Paul says, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you. That's why I changed that word command to urge. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you were called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. With patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Patience. It's good. We should pray for patience. We should ask God for patience. We should embrace patience. We should encourage one another and challenge one another to be patient. As I've said many times, I need your patience. There are times I do things that I shouldn't do. There are times that I say things I shouldn't say. There are times I walk away and I say, that was a perfect opportunity for me to do something great for the kingdom of God, and I said something stupid. Sometimes I end up calling the individual and saying, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And I'm grateful for those that are patient. So within the body of Christ, we need to be understanding and patient, but still exhort one another. Right? We exhort one another, we encourage one another, we challenge one another, we instruct one another, we even rebuke one another in patience. There are levels, various levels of rebuking that need to take place in our lives. All of us are subject to that. And so we are urged to be patient. Secondly, patience reflects the character of God. Very being of God. I didn't give you these above, but Exodus 34, when Moses, I was reading again this morning in the book of Exodus, and you know, Moses broke the first tablets, came down, their golden calf, and he threw the tablets down and they broke, and God told him, come back on the mountain tomorrow, come by yourself, and I'll give you a fresh set of tablets. And as the Lord comes before him, the Lord makes his name known. Literally, that's what the passage says. That God made himself, his name, known to Moses. And this is what he said. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger. That's patience. That's the word patience in Hebrew. He's such a patient God. Could you imagine? Here it is. Think about the flood. Think about the garden, and then come to Mount Sinai. And think about the idea, in the garden, they ate the apple, judged. Think about the flood, judged, right? Saved the family. Come to Mount Sinai, God delivers his people, and they build a false god and are dancing around the false god and worshiping it. And you would almost expect God to wipe them out. But the Lord, merciful and kind, slow to anger. Slow to anger. I thought about the idea, because patience is used with the idea of not only wisdom in the Bible, but love. Love is, 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. We have a lot of people these days that speak about love, but it doesn't include the idea of patience. That's not love. Love is patient. When you're wronged, it's patient. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Peter, writing here, is speaking about the idea of the flood, and he's talking about the idea of Noah. In the days of Noah, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah. Now, some associate that with the idea of waiting for Noah to get the ark done. Come on, man. Oh, there's so much goofy theology out there. oh, you know, the Lord, 120 days, which 120 days is not really an idea of how long it took Noah to build. He said, I will not strive with man. Right? It's, most theologians agree that the idea is there is a natural limit of 120 years God placed upon the life of man, not how long it would take Noah to build the ark. But some have a picture that God's up in heaven waiting on Noah. If he was that impatient, he could have just made the ark, gave it to Noah. But he didn't. Interesting. He was patient in judging the earth. People rebelling against him. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Patience, God's patience in judgment. Even with the idea of Israel, God's patience, his forbearance with Israel in the wilderness, over and over and over again, a rebellious people. And yet, God's patience was there. His forbearance was there. Or even in Romans chapter 2, do you suppose, O man, speaking of the hypocrite, you who judge those who practice such things, that is sin, and yet do them yourself? You say, don't do this. Don't commit adultery, and you do it yourself. Don't blaspheme against God, and you do it yourself. You say, don't do these things, and you do them yourself. Do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and his forbearance and patience? Speaking to the hypocrite, you tell people don't do this, you tell your children don't do this, you tell people around you don't do these things, and you secretly do the same thing. Do you not know you're testing? You're taking for granted the forbearance and the patience of God? It hit me heavy yesterday. Presumptuous sins against God. The next time you are tempted in sin, think about this. Am I pushing God's patience? Am I taking God's patience for granted? A lot of people do these days. I'm a child of God. God, there's no condemnation, so I can do whatever I want because God has forgiven me. That is taking God's patience for granted. And we don't want to do that. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead to not sin, but repentance? Why does God forbear our sin? Why does God overlook our sin? Why does God demonstrate patience in the midst of our rebellion against him? He's waiting patiently for repentance on our part. He's calling us to repentance. Well, Romans chapter 9, Paul is dealing with the idea of the potter and the clay. And he asks that question. Doesn't the potter have the right to shape the clay however he wants to? And the answer is yes, he does. He's the potter. Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Why does God allow sin to go on and on and on? Why does he allow people to mock him? You know, recently in the news, sports news, I've seen two football games where people spit on another person. I'll be honest with you, it has never offended me as much as it has recently when it happened this time. These last two times deeply offended me. And I was like, what is this stuff? And then I thought about man to God. They beat him. They whipped him. They scourged him. They spit on him. And the whole time he could have called legions of angels to wipe them out. And the Father could have come to rescue his son, but he forbear it. Patience. Why? He endured much patience toward vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. In order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy. One day we're going to be in heaven and we're going to see the wrath of God poured out on sin. And it's going to cause us to know the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy. When we see the wrath of God poured out on the sin of man and mankind that have rebelled against him, we will say, ooh, wow. Unbearable to look at. I've gotten to the age where, you know, these, when you go out to eat and they have the TikTok things up there and you have people trying, they're attempting all these feats of stupidity. I'm going to ride a unicycle across this tightrope over jars of clay and broken glass. And you're like, oh, this is not very wise. And I've gotten to the point in my life where when I see people fall and I see people get hit, I cringe. I'm like, oh, that hurts. Can't even hardly look at it. I can't hardly watch these guys when I see it sometimes when these guys get in a ring and they fight each other. One, because it just bothers me that human beings are beating each other, made in the image of God. It honestly does. There's no way in which I can think that somehow is that honoring God. Yeah. But I also associate the pain with my body, and I think, oh, that would take a long time to heal from that. That really hurts. And what are we going to see one day? We're going to see the wrath of God poured out upon Satan and sin, and we're going to shudder. Because except for the grace of God, that would have been you and me. But God has been patient with us. All those years leading up to Christ, he was patient with you. And all these years leading up to the return of Christ, he's promised to be patient with us. He's a merciful God. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. That's the elect, by the way. It's the audience to whom Peter's writing to, God's people. Who is God being patient toward? Us. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So, patience is something that characterizes God. God is a patient God. We praise him for that. Let me give you this third point. Not only should we desire, we are urged to be patient, and not only is patience something that is a characteristic of God, but God honors those who are patient. Let me give that to you. God honors those who are patient. Because we ask the question, what's the point in being patient about this? What's the point in waiting on this? Because there is reward and honor at the end of the road of patience with God. Isaiah 40, 31. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord, it's a good passage, isn't it? They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God honors those that wait on him, wait for him. Or Lamentations 3. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. Can I read it again? The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Now, sometimes we're good at waiting, but not quietly. I am guilty of that. I have waited in the car before and waited and blew the horn. I'm waiting! That is not waiting quietly. It doesn't produce good outcomes. It's better to wait quietly, right? The Lord is good. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I want to encourage you. Sometimes we are waiting. Sometimes we take that as an opportunity to complain. We grumble and complain in the time of waiting. What I would encourage you to do is, if the Lord has you waiting for something, maybe sometimes God just wants you to quietly wait and keep that between yourself and Him. I don't know how to express this completely, but there are things, obviously, things in my past that I don't tell anybody. Have no intention of telling anybody ever in my life until I lose my mind, possibly one day. And I'm afraid what's going to come out if that ever happens. Because there's a lot of stuff in there that people have said, hey, don't tell anybody this. But if you tell me, don't tell anybody this, I don't tell anybody that. And I don't make exclusions for it. I don't say, well, that means everybody but my wife. And everybody but my best friend. And everybody else that I know will keep it quiet. No, if you say to me, I'm going to tell you this, but don't tell anybody. I don't tell anybody. I sometimes do that voluntarily for you. I had someone share, I obviously can't tell you what it was or who it was, but I had someone last week share something with me. It wasn't Dan, so you know that. Share something with me, and I said, I don't think I want to share that with anybody because it might taint their opinion of that individual. So there are times that I don't tell my wife things because I don't want her view of somebody or something to be tainted, or somebody else too. We don't have to tell everything that we know. And so there are things that we should prize ourselves. There are a number of things that I know that I'm not going to ever tell anybody else, and that's between me and that individual, and I prize that. So I feel sorry for those people that share everything they know because they have nothing special to prize. And I would apply that to God. There are some things that I have between me and God. Just me and Him. He knows it. I know it. Nobody else does. And that's just the way I want it. And sometimes I say, God, I'm not even going to tell anybody else that I want this. I'm just going to leave it with You. Just going to leave it with You. God is honored toward those who wait quietly for Him. Don't complain and grumble. Don't broadcast it. Just you and God. Give it to Him and prize it. Psalm 25, indeed, none who wait for You, that is the Lord, shall be put to shame. They shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous, though. But none who wait for You, Lord, shall be ashamed. None. Or Psalm 37, wait for the Lord and keep His way. Here's an important thing. I remember years ago, probably 20-something years ago, I remember Charles Stanley talking about the idea of waiting on the Lord. He had a great sermon about that. And he said, you know, waiting on the Lord is not static. It's dynamic. Yeah. As you wait on the Lord, you keep doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. It's not that I stand still or go backwards. You keep doing exactly what the Lord had you doing the last time He spoke to you. And you wait on Him. And as you wait on Him, you obey Him. Obedience to His word. Obedience to Him and what He has called you to. And so, wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will exalt you. Now, this is for Israel to inherit the land, but it was the idea of a promise. Wait for the Lord, leave it in His hands, salvation comes from Him. All these things, God will give you the land that flows with milk and honey. All these things come from the Lord. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is in Him and from Him, toward Him, by Him. My hope is in God. So I wait for Him. Or Psalm 103, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning. Made me think of the military. At night watch at times, it'd be out there raining, cold, and you're like, oh, I can't wait till morning to get relieved. Just can't wait. My soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning. More than a watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. It's patient love, enduring love. And with Him is plentiful redemption. and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Or Hebrews chapter 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, that is, God swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you, and I will multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited. Interesting, isn't it? Sometimes he didn't look so patient. Hagar, can't wait anymore. Yeah, gotta do something my own way. Having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. So I'd encourage you, wait on the Lord. And here would be the challenge. I'll give you one passage as way of a challenge. The challenge would be this. Display the mercy and patience of Christ. Christ is patient toward us. He was patient toward his disciples. But listen to this in 1 Timothy chapter 1. But I received mercy, Paul speaking about his conversion, but I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, he's considered himself the chief of sinners, right? The least of the apostles. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience. We, tongue-in-cheek, would say something like this. Boy, I know God's a patient God if he chose that individual. If that person's a Christian, I know God's a patient person. And Paul would say, that was me. Chief of sinners. And God showed mercy toward me and patience toward me so that others might know he's a gracious God. He's a gracious God. Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And all God's people would say, amen. Amen. What a patient God. God, help us. Help us to appreciate, recognize your patience. You're such a holy God, and yet you are patient with us. You are such a long-suffering God and have dealt with us kindly in our times of rebellion and laziness, the times we're lethargic, Lord, and not responsive to you. Yet you are patient toward us, and we praise you for that. Help us to be like that. Help us, Holy Spirit, to exercise this fruit that you have given to us of patience. Help us to be ones that wait on God, are patient toward our Heavenly Father for his perfect plan, his perfect timing, his perfect way, perfect result. Help us to wait quietly and patiently, faithfully, trusting you, Father. Lord, help us to be patient with one another. Help us to exercise patience in times of confusion and maybe adversity, maybe in times of opposition. Help us to be known as a patient people so that they might see something different in us and recognize that the patience they see is not natural. It's evidence of a transformed life, ruled by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Help us, Lord. Help us to be patient and long-suffering until we see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.